I want you to turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of John. John chapter 11. We're going to start reading with verse 38. I want us to consider this morning our thankful Savior. Our thankful Savior. I look at your theme there, servants who give thanks. And it reminds me that we have a great example for giving thanks. And I want us to consider that this morning. And we're going to begin reading this this portion from this chapter. This is one of my favorite chapters because it shows so much about the compassion, the character, and the power of Jesus Christ. So we're going to begin reading with verse 38 for just a few verses. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, "Loose him and let him go." Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisee and told them what things Jesus had done. Following Christ's example in thankfulness will strengthen your walk as a believer. That's important for me. It's important for me to understand that there are some things that I can do to follow Jesus as I follow Jesus Christ that's going to make me a more effective servant for him. And one of these things is that we follow his example in thankfulness so that we just express that thankfulness to him. So what is it that we need to learn from his example here? What is it from this passage that we can take away so that your life can be different? I feel like every time that we come under the presence of the Word of God, something ought to happen to us. I know there may not always be life-changing events every day in your life, but I will tell you that the Word of God is in the process of changing your life constantly. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved or how long you have been in ministry. I expect Jesus Christ to do something to me as I read his word. I want to show you his example that he provides for us first. The first thing that I want you to consider then is that Christ expresses thanks for hearing God. For a God that listens and cares. Did you even think about that? Most of the time, we just take it for granted that God is going to answer us. We take it for granted that God is listening to us and we give our prayers. But Jesus Christ, our Savior, says, "I want to thank God because I know he's going to hear me." So when you go to your prayers tonight, or maybe you went to your prayers this morning, or however you do it, morning, evening, and noon, and night, all the time, when you go to the Lord in prayer, do you really believe that God's going to hear you? Jesus Christ says, something big is about to happen, and I know I'm giving you thanks for what has already occurred. Wait a minute, what has occurred? Sadness, sorrow, despair, discouragement on people's part. He said, "I'm thanking you now because I know something big is going to happen." I can tell you, it is important for us to recognize that we have a hearing God. He cares about the concerns we have in our life. I'm so thankful. There are times when you pray. Have you ever prayed and God sort of answers it before you even get it off your lips good? That's exciting, isn't it? It's pretty neat when God does that, and you know it. You know it's happened to you. But you know what's even more exciting to me is when I begin to pray for other people and they come and tell me before the prayers even get off my lips for them, God answers the prayer. That's even better. That's even better, and that's what Jesus Christ is doing now. He says, "I want you to understand something. I'm thanking you," and he says it for everyone. He said, "I'm not thanking you because you don't know I have a thankful heart." He says, "I'm thanking you because everyone else around here is going to be affected in just a few moments." That's pretty awesome. Christ expresses his thanks for hearing God, but he also expressed thanks for the impact his word would have on them that heard it. All those that heard his word, he says, this is why I'm giving you thanks, because in just a few moments, I'm going to speak. And when I speak, something tremendous is going to happen. The folks are still in sorrow. The folks are still not knowing what is going to happen. But Jesus knows. And he says, I want you to understand that in just a few moments, something is going to change people's lives. I'm very confident that the Word of God still does that. We can come up with all kinds of methods, and we can come up with all kinds of ways to express the love of God. But let me just tell you something. The Word of God is powerful, and we can never forsake the Word of God. I heard somebody mention that God is preparing you for ministry. That's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing that God's preparing you for ministry, and we look at all kinds of different types of vocational ministries. But let me just tell you something. He's going to have you in ministry right now, too. You're supposed to be active. This is what God's doing because of his word in your life. He wants something to happen with you now as you're preparing for all these things. Christ expresses his thanks for the impact his word would have on those that heard it. But I also want you to see part of this example is that Christ expresses thanks even while he's experiencing sorrow as well. This is where we get that shortest verse in the Bible from, right? This is my oldest brother's favorite verse, because every morning at breakfast, my mom would have us recite a Bible verse. And we had all these little cards that we'd take out, and then we'd have to recite the Bible verse. And my oldest brother, his favorite verse was John 11:35, Jesus wept. He could do that quickly. But let me just tell you something. As quickly as we can say that, Jesus Christ felt the pain that you feel. Jesus was in sorrow here. When he thanks his Father for what he's about to do, he is finding himself in the condition of being surrounded by sorrow. Not just himself, but all those around him. The disciples had no clue what was going on. Thomas says, let's just follow Jesus and we'll die with him. He was in a very critical state. He didn't know what was going on. The disciples didn't understand what was taking place here. And Jesus Christ says, what I want you to understand is thankfulness always changes things. So he expresses his thankfulness even in the midst of the sorrow. But then I want you to notice something else here. I want you to notice the impact of thankfulness. In verse 43, we see that Jesus is going to speak, and he's going to cry out with a loud voice, and he says, Lazarus, come forth. Verse 44 says, he that was dead came forth. I want you to catch this. A thankful heart always precedes new life. Always. You say, what do you mean by that? What I mean by that is this. I'm not talking about Lazarus. I'm not talking about the one that experienced new life. How often do we rejoice when someone gets saved? Man, we do it, don't we? We get excited. We tell people, man, we had 3 saved in our service today. We had these following the Lord. At your camp, you guys are always excited about how many people follow the Lord that week, right? We get excited and we're thankful for what God does when we see somebody follow him and experience new life. But this is different. We see a thankful heart preceding new life. So who is that about? It's not about the one receiving the new life. It's the one praying for it. You ought to have a thankful heart as you think about your family that's lost. Because you know that if they die in the condition that they're in right now, all those people that you love, all those good people that are your cousins and your uncles and your aunts that sit around your family table at your holidays, those good people that don't know Jesus Christ are going to spend an eternity separated from him. You know that, right? So what we need to do then, we need to have a thankful heart for what God is going to do. When we pray for them, and he's praying, he's getting ready to say, he said, new life is about to happen. But I want you to see that first, before there's new life, there's a thankful heart somewhere. I believe that's the way it is today. I believe that you will see God do great things when you have a thankful heart, even when he doesn't give you what you want. Thankful heart preceded new life. This is a picture in my mind that I don't, it just keeps revolving over and over in my mind. I can't quite grasp how this took place. Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." I was told sometime that if he didn't say Lazarus, if he just said come forth, all the dead in the graves would have come forth. Maybe so. But this is pretty cool anyway. He said, "Lazarus, come forth." And this one that was dead came out of that cave. I don't know how he did it. I don't know if he stood up and sort of jumped his way out there because he's all bound up. I don't know if he floated out. I don't know how he came out, but I know when he came out, he was still bound by the grave clothes. Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." Will you let the fella go? You know, one of the things that we struggle with, we get all excited, we have thankful hearts when God saves somebody. But there's a whole lot of people in this world that have a whole lot of baggage before they come to Jesus. Do you know that? They come to Jesus bound up with a whole lot of stuff. And they're still wrapped up in grave clothes. And Jesus, let me pause for just a second, because I want you to see something here. Jesus gave the disciples some responsibilities. He told them, before new life took place, he told them to remove the stone. Jesus could have done that. He could have wiggled his finger and made the stone go away. He could have done anything he wanted to. But he told the disciples to do it. They had a responsibility before salvation of someone. And then after salvation, they also had a responsibility to help him get out of those dead grave clothes. He said, "Loose him and let him go." So there, Jesus is having his disciples take part in this huge opportunity because of a thankful heart. That's pretty awesome. So he says, "Loose him, let him go." I want you to see that a thankful heart not only precedes new life, but it precedes freedom from the things that keep you in bondage. When you see someone, maybe it's a friend of yours, comes to know the Lord, oftentimes what happens, I see people, and we work with at-risk children. We work at a children's home, and we've had over 150 kids in the last 8 years that we've parented. And we've seen a lot of them come to know the Lord, a lot of them. But what happens, they do well for a while. They take off, and they start running for Jesus. And then things get hard. And you know what? They start acting like they're not saved anymore. Then they start thinking they're not saved anymore. Let me just tell you something. The God that saves you by grace keeps you by grace. And there, so now they're all wrapped in these grave clothes, and they can't go very far. So it's our responsibility as the disciples of Christ to be able to unloose these, help set them free so that they see the liberty in Christ Jesus. A thankful heart precedes the freedom or the liberation that comes through Jesus Christ. I also want you to see something else here. A thankful heart preceded answered prayer. Nothing had happened yet. Nothing exciting, nothing impossible, nothing had happened except for Jesus just praying. He said, "Father, I thank thee. I thank you because he hears me. You hear me. He said, I know you always hear me, but I'm saying it because these people around, they need something. They need something. They need to see that my thankfulness to you has a real bearing on the things that are going to take place." So he had a thankful heart. He was thanking God before he ever received anything. Now, how's that with you? Think about that for just a moment. You have some really serious prayer requests. Sometimes they're really spiritual prayer requests. You pray for somebody's salvation. Sometimes they come from, well, let's just face it, you're college students, you just don't have enough money sometimes, right? Sometimes you pray about that. Be thankful even before you see the answer. Be thankful as you utter the prayer. Be thankful for what God can do. Whether he does it for you or not doesn't matter. What you're being thankful for is what your great God can do. And when you have that perspective, it takes the selfish aspect of your asking out of it. And it becomes completely, instead of man-centered, it becomes completely God-centered. I'm telling you, that's where we need to be. Well, thankful heart preceded answered prayer. When you're confident in the power of your God, you can express thanks before you get anything. Are you with me? Just nod your head. It's good for the neck muscles, and it shows that you're not asleep, all right? So, when you're confident in your God, you can be thankful, and you don't have to get anything from Him. That's a good place to be, when you can be thankful and not expect anything. One of my greatest problems in ministry is expectations. Expecting other people to do what they ought to do. Whew, boy, I'm telling you, they don't always do it. People don't always do what you want. And a lot of times that's good. But expectations, when you can come to God and have a thankful heart and not expect anything, that's an awesome place to be in your Christian life. Well, we've considered what Christ's example was. He gave thanks for hearing God. He was thankful for the impact His word would have on those that heard it. And He was able to give thanks even in the midst of His own personal sorrow. Then we see the impact of that. Thankful heart preceded a new life. It preceded liberation of the spirit. It preceded the answer to prayer. But now I want you to see the result of true thankfulness. True thankfulness expresses a greater appreciation for the giver than the gift. Gratitude. Oftentimes we interchange the two words, grateful and thankful. But really there is a difference. Gratitude is this condition that I'm in, and thankfulness is the expression of that condition. So thankfulness comes from having a truly grateful heart. So if you're truly grateful, if you have gratitude for what God has done in your life, then you will be able to express that in thankfulness to Him. Let me show you something, though. And you probably have seen this as a simple observation. You've probably seen that there are people that give thanks because they were taught to. You know, being polite, please and thank you, and we say all those polite things. Genuine thankfulness is more than just etiquette. It's more than just being polite. It's more than just saying the right thing. As a church, one of the things that we often try to do, we try to give Christmas baskets to anyone that we know, anyone that our church family knows is in need. And we give them a big basket of food, probably lasts for a week or so. And you know what? Almost every family says thanks. Almost everyone says thanks. It's easy to give thanks when you get what you want. It's easy to give thanks when you think that it's just meeting my need. I've seen people that have had blessings showered upon them by other people, and they are thankful as long as they keep getting stuff, but when they don't get what they want, the gratitude goes right out the window. Are you with me there? Oh boy, let me just tell you something. That's not a good place to be. Thankfulness for the believer is not a result of personal gain, but it's of a realization of the greatness and power of God. That's what real thankfulness is all about. He says, I'm telling you, I'm thanking you now, my Father, because of what you're going to do for the people around me, for the people that are hearing my word. All right, so what does this do for us then? We've heard these things, and we've talked about His example. We've talked about the impact. We've talked about the result. So what are you going to do differently then? If, as we follow His example, let us do a few things. Let's express thanks to God simply because He hears our cry. You can do that today, can't you? That's one of those easy things. You can leave this place, and you don't even have to leave this place. You can say, God, I am thankful because I know you're listening to my prayers. I've been in services with a bunch of old mountain preachers from North Carolina, and we would go to these meetings, and I used to love them. I'd hear these people, they'd just pray and they'd shout, and they were called the Shouting Baptists. That's what they were. But they would get together and they would all pray at the same time. All pray at the same time. Everybody's talking out loud. And you know what? I know it doesn't bother God. I can't keep my thoughts straight. I'm trying to think, okay, now what am I saying? But they're just all praying. And you know what? God hears everyone. It's no different than every one of you praying right now. It just might be more distracting for someone else, but it's not distracting for God. So as you say, wouldn't it be awesome if you just bombarded heaven right now? Thank you, God, for hearing me. That'd be awesome. And we can do that simply every day. We just bombard heaven with our prayers, with our thankfulness, with our praise. Thank you for hearing me. That's something you can do. And when you begin to have that thankful heart, it's going to change the way you walk. It's going to change your conduct. It's going to change your countenance. It's going to change your behavior. You can be thankful for the impact God's word is going to have on you and others. If you want God's word to have an impact in your life, I can give you one simple suggestion. Read it. Just read it. Get it into your heart and get it into your mind, and it will change your life. Express thanks for that. And be thankful, even though difficulties have invaded your little personal world. Doesn't matter what the sorrow is. It doesn't matter what is the cause of the difficulties in your life or in my life. But when my world gets invaded by all these little personal issues, I still need to maintain a thankful heart. Recognize the impact that a thankful heart will have. Let us be thankful for the new life God has yet to impart to somebody. I've got a lady in our church. She has been praying for 25 years. As long as I've known her for almost 17 years, and she has prayed consistently and constantly for the salvation of her husband. Not because it would make her marriage better, not because it would be better for her family, but because if Jesse doesn't get saved, he's going to bust hell wide open. Be thankful for what God has yet to impart, the new life he's yet to impart in somebody else's life. Let us be thankful for the freedom that is in Christ Jesus. Let us be thankful for the prayers he has yet to answer. Now, I look out here, and I am very confident that some of you have some burdens on your heart, and you have some things that you've been pleading to God for, and he hasn't answered yet. Am I right? Give thanks for it. Take your time right now and give thanks for what God is yet to do. I'm not telling you he's going to give you what you want. I'm telling you he's going to answer in the way you're expecting. But I am telling you that if you have a thankful heart, you're going to be able to accept it, and you're going to recognize that his grace truly is sufficient in your situation. So then let us do this. Express greater appreciation for the giver of the gift than the gift itself. Let's seek the God of miracles and not just the miracle. Everybody wants a miracle, but it's greater if you get connected to the God of the miracles. Makes all the difference in your life. If thou wouldst only believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. That's what he told his sister that was grieving and troubled, thinking that my brother stinks, that he's been dead, we've got issues here. In Jesus, you're trying to reverse all the issues. You're trying to do something that's impossible. You're trying to tell me that if I only believe, that the impossible will come to pass. That's what I'm telling you too. I'm telling you that the impossible is possible with Jesus Christ. I don't know what your issue is. I don't know what your problem is. I don't know what your struggle is. But I do know this. Nothing's too hard for God. I know you would only believe, you will see the glory of God. And when the glory of God appears, it's always a great moment to express that thanks to Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for being a gracious God. We thank you for your love and your mercy. We thank you for directing our hearts to seeing the example of Jesus Christ, our thankful Savior. Lord, we ask that you help us to follow Him, follow this example. Give us a thankful heart so that we just express it to you on a regular basis, a consistent basis. We don't have to think about it, but it's what comes out of our life. Father, we thank you for all these things, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.